Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
I can't hear anything if you all can hear me.
Hi, can you all hear me?
Hi, I can hear you, whoever you are. Is that Byron?
It's Byron, yeah.
Hi, I recognize you because I've been on here with you once before. This is Lady Vanessa. I can't
hear anyone else, though.
Hi, I wish I could come down and see you and actually meet you at PUFF, but I'm not going to be able to get away to do that.
I'm not going to be there at PUFF. So.
Oh, I thought you were. Oh, darn.
No,
well, okay.
I'm almost always there, but not this year.
Ah, okay. Well, it must have been my misunderstanding. I haven't been at all ever, and I really want to go, so I'd like to try it. But I'm not going to be able to do that this year. So you have a new book out, don't you?
I do indeed. I've got a big stack of them right over here that I need to sign and mail out to the people who pre-ordered books.
Wow. Wonderful.
Yeah. So where are you located?
I'm in Louisville.
Oh,
Louisville, nice.
Yeah.
A lot of cool esoteric and interesting groups here in town. So lots to do. Keeps you on your toes.
I love
Never
Louisville.
Yeah. It's a great little town. Now, where are you at? You're not in Tennessee, are you?
No, I'm in Asheville.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why we hear so many things about goings on in that area. From Rachel, I guess, is because you all are friends. That's neat.
All righty. Nice. I think I've been dealing with internet gremlins.
Oh, no.
We're just sitting here chatting it up, so we're having a great time, Byron and I are.
Yeah, we are. No worries. No worries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for some reason, I had it all set up and everything, and then all of a sudden, Skype did not like me tonight.
Ah.
Hmm.
It let me call in and everything, but then for some reason it decided that it didn't like me. So, sorry about that. All right, everybody, this is Raven Fireball.
Hi, Raven.
I thought everybody had heard my introduction, but I guess not, because I got a love letter a love message from Samara saying, "Dead air." So,
right. It was.
Okay. All right. So,
but not now.
All right. So, this is Raven Fire Doll, and of course, this is a Tree of Life Hour. For those of you all just tuning in, you all probably have heard that we have Byron Ballard on as our extra special guest tonight, and we're actually going to be talking about her new book, Embracing Villendor, which is something we're actually very excited about. I know a while back, Samara did a show on pagans and fitness.
Right, right.
And I know your new book has a lot to do with that.
It does, and people keep asking me, so is this new book like a diet book? And I go, no, it's not that at all. No. The full title of the book is Embracing Willendorf, A Witch's Way of Loving Your Body to Health and Fitness. And it's really kind of a memoir because about 15 years ago, I decided I wanted to get healthy, and I lost 75 pounds. And this is how I did it. And so there's a lot of stories about my life and my experience. But basically, the whole premise of the book is that once you stop hating yourself and hating your body, and you love it and listen to it, you're going to know exactly what it needs. And then you're going to be healthy. And I don't care what size anybody is, but I want my community to be healthy. I want us to live long and luxurious and juicy lives.
Right.
So I wrote the book, 10, 12, 13 years ago. And it was, I gave it to a new literary agent who was not obviously very experienced. And he shopped it around. And he came back to me and he said, well, it's really too pagan for the diet and health market, and it's really too diet and health for the pagan market. So you have to make a decision about what you want it to be, and then you have to rewrite the whole book. And I went, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. So I just left it. It was a file on my computer for over a decade. But I taught, in fact, I did one of these at Pagan Unity several years ago. I teach workshops based on the material. And I kept hearing from people who had taken these workshops that it literally changed their lives. So I thought I would revisit it and maybe bring it out as an ebook, which I haven't done before.
Right.
And my editor at Skybridge Publishing said, why don't you find some beta readers and send it out to them and see what they think? And the beta readers all came back going, oh, my gosh, this is wonderful. I really want this book. I want it as a book. So it started the process of being edited, and Annie Saris is the most amazing editor ever. So she whipped it all into shape, and its official pub date will be a little bit later this week, though it is it's available through her website, through the publisher's website, for pre-sale. So if people are interested in that, it's Sky Bridge, and it's SKYE Bridge Publishing. And I will sign it and mail it out to you.
Neat. All right.
And just to let you know, I didn't realize that I was on the air, and like my whole family's in the background. So I want to apologize for that. This is Samara.
Hello, Samara.
I didn't realize that you had already had a lot of this done, because it was just weird how coincidental. Like, you had started asking, like, for people to, like, fitness instructors and nutritionists and stuff, you were asking about them on your Facebook page, like, the same week that we did the show last year. And I thought that was just really weird.
Well, or synchronicitous, I guess. I mean, I go to a lot of pagan festivals. I've got a bunch more to do this year. And I like pagans, and I like being a pagan. But I think that we still carry around a lot of baggage left over from maybe the religions we were raised in that talks to us about how our bodies are sinful and our bodies are bad. And then we're in a culture that is dominated by the kind of tyranny of body shape. And we deal with a lot of both fat shaming and skinny shaming. And when you've got those things compounded with the fact that losing weight is not easy, then we end up being unhealthy and unhealthier than we need to be. So that's the reason I did it, because people said they wanted to read it, and because I hope it'll help helps and people kind of come to a better place with their bodies. Because I went through the whole thing of loving my big, fat body, my 260-pound body. I loved it, loved it, loved it. And frankly, it took me a little while to get used to the used to the thinner version of me, which is not thin. Any of you all who have seen me, I'm not thin by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm healthy. I'm a lot healthier than I was 15 years ago.
Well, I like the premise of being able to have a pagan-oriented book, information out there that's associated with being healthy and you know, doing whatever you need to be healthy. Because when we did the show a year ago, I think I found maybe one thing that was slightly, you know, towards the pagan audience, but there's tons of stuff out there related to working out and, you know, involving your Christian faith and working out and such, but there wasn't nothing as far as paganism.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this is not about working out. It is about, it is not about that. And it's
in
also
general,
not about,
I mean, you know, it's
exactly
healthy, whatever.
So it's a lot about just listening to yourself. And as pagans, you would think we would already be listening to that still, small voice, the voices of the divines or the voices of the ancestors. But I find that we are as guilty of, as everyone else in the culture of getting so involved in our rich and juicy lives that we miss things. We miss that quiet voice. And we are racing around, rushing around to get everything done that we need to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this invites people to stop. There's lots of guided meditations in the book. And there's even recipes in the back. And I did that kind of as an afterthought because I have these recipes that I love and that I make all the time. And I thought, I'm just going to stick those in the back of the book. So it's part memoir, so you can hear about what I did. It's part recipes. It's just a lot of, I think, fun stuff. And, yeah, and it's designed to help you disappear some guilt. Because, man, guilt is so bad. Guilt
agreed.
Is that emotion. Guilt's the thing that we feel it, and we feel it so strongly that we think we're doing something, but we're not. We're just feeling something. And so there's a terrible situation somewhere in the world, and we feel so guilty, but we're not actually doing anything about it. We're just making ourselves sick. So no guilt, no shame. That's my mantra, no guilt, no shame.
I used to teach in my groups many, many years ago when I began teaching groups that guilt does not spur you to succeed or on a quest. Guilt tends to stymie people, and guilt tends to, if anything, create resentment against yourself or whatever one feels is creating the guilt. So I don't think guilt is a very particularly good emotion.
No,
I agree with
you,
Byron.
Helpful. Not helpful.
No, no, not at all. Motivation
well,
has to come from elsewhere.
Yeah.
And some things with health and fitness are kind of guilt-inducing. I mean, like for someone like me who, you know, anybody's met me in person knows, you know, I love food.
Most
oh, yeah,
of us love food.
Oh, yeah, no.
Definitely well, and that's the issue, isn't it? Because with other addictions, if we want to think about food addictions, I don't know that it is an addiction, but with other addictions, you can stop smoking. You can stop drinking
right.
with help, with whatever programs you need to. You can't stop eating. You have
nope.
to eat.
No,
so you have to alter the way you think about food, the way you think
right.
about your body, and just the way you think about the world so that you don't eat a bunch of crap, because that's also my big thing, is that we should be eating as much organic, clean food as we can, as much as our budget can afford. And it's so that it's better, in my way of thinking, it's better for you to have a cup of real ice cream that's made with milk and cream and sugar and vanilla beans. Have a cup of that and really enjoy it and really feel it in your mouth and taste it, than to eat a cup of just chemicals and garbage that's going to have fewer carbs and fewer calories, but it's not going to satisfy you because it's not real food. Oh, did I sound kind of evangelical there for a minute? It felt like I was kind of preaching.
You just turned into organic nut for a minute. No, I'm just joking.
Well, and I mean, but like, here's the thing, you know, that you've got, especially with health and fitness diet, I mean, you've got workplaces now that are, you know, requiring people to wear fitness trackers. I know where I'm at, they're in the process of integrating stuff like that. And it's just like, oh my gosh, you know, you have this little thing strapped to your wrist, but it's like, man, you know, I have to wear this because insurance, but you know.
Oh, that's so creepy though, isn't it?
Now, I don't
yeah.
have my fitness mm-hmm. tracker, but I do because we get bonus points for it that we can turn in for like gift cards for Amazon and stuff.
Yeah.
Plus, I love my fitness tracker because I have a Fitbit Blaze, which is like, it almost looks like an iPhone watch, and I love it. So, because I can just look at my watch and see if I have any text messages, stuff like that, see who's calling me, all that stuff. But
right.
And I find it interesting tracking my steps, too, because some things that I don't think I would get that many steps, I actually get them, and some things that I think
right.
I'd have a lot of steps, I don't get.
Right.
So
interesting.
Where you're getting your exercise at.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
In some ways, though, it can be guilt-inducing, too, though.
What'd you say? It can be what?
In some ways, I think it can kind of be guilt-inducing, too.
Yeah,
it's
say
like,
more about
oh my
that.
Gosh, well, I mean, it's like you have to, you know, you have to wear this thing strapped to your wrist, obviously.
That's
and
the
like,
creepy
if you
part.
Don't, like your insurance rate's gonna go up, and it's like, you know, part of me is like, is my boss actually watching this or getting this data or anything like that? And that's kind of like where I'm kind of at with it right now.
Well, I know. Most things can't go to your boss, but it can go to your insurance company. Unfortunately, my insurance is also my boss. But we won't go into that because I, you know. But
right.
But I know it's not going to like my direct boss, and there is so much data out there that I know they're not looking at it by name either. Because it's just
right.
too much
I mean,
data to have to go through and identify every single person.
Right. But, I mean, the one thing I like about the point Byron makes about the book is that, you know, so much of health and fitness, especially if you are an overweight woman, is, you know, you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to, like, eat only these certain foods and if you dare eat a piece of bread, you're ruining your body for life. And I think that's a very interesting point she makes.
Doesn't that feel just like the Christian definition of sin? Ooh,
yeah.
If you do this thing, you are sinning. Well, we don't
yeah,
do
right.
sin. We're pagans. We don't do sin.
That's right. That's right.
So why are we letting those kind of overlaps from maybe our earlier religious life, why are we letting that still dominate us after all these years? I tell people, if you are ashamed of your body and you don't love living in an earthy body, then you're probably not being a very good pagan, and you need to ditch that stuff. Come on, be a pagan with me. Love your body. Be naked. Do all that stuff. Do all the stuff.
See, my issue.
I'm liking you.
My issue isn't so much.
Very
I mean,
fun.
Yeah, I don't really
Good.
Care for my body. I'll admit it. But at the same time, the losing weight isn't about how I looked. It's how
right.
I felt, because I was getting a lot of issues like my feet were swollen all the time. It physically hurt to walk. Like I would maybe walk for maybe 10 minutes and my feet would be killing me like I had been walking all day. I mean, there was just a lot of stuff that I was having trouble doing that I shouldn't have been having trouble doing. And with three back surgeries that I've had in my past, I had to do something about it because my body was revolting against me.
Yeah, exactly. And you did that for all the right reasons because you wanted to be healthy and not because you wanted to conform to some kind of weird societal standard that says you should weigh 120 pounds and be a size 2, because that's just not real. The average American woman is a healthy size 14, average 14, two digits. We are a two-digit number. And we can be that and be very healthy at that and not have to succumb to the guilt and the shame and the tyranny of a fashion industry that's not designed for real women and everything that's just not designed for real women. And I'd love to be able to say it's all patriarchy and misogyny, which of course it is. But in addition to all of that, it is a culture that is driven by capitalism. So we lose weight, we buy more clothes. Then we gain the weight back, we buy more clothes. So it's all of that stuff kind of woven together in this toxic ball. But if we can find a way to love our physical body, to love our fat thighs, to love our big butts, to love our – I have enormous feet, 10, 11 – and people will say, they don't look so big. And then I'll hold my feet up against somebody else's feet. And I have like hobbit feet. I am 5'4", and I have a size 11 foot. Now, it means I don't fall over very easily because I have such a good, firm foundation. But it means that all those adorable little shoes, even if I could get them in my size, they would just look ridiculous because I have such big feet. But I love my big feet because they hold me up and they take me where I want to go. And, yeah, I don't wear adorable little shoes that look great on a size 6 foot because they're just not available. Years ago, I was with my friend Star, and she was looking for some rain boots, and we were in, you know, one of those standard sort of shoe stores. And she was looking in her size, which is like a 7, 6.5, 7. So I had wandered back to the giant shoes. And came back to her, and she couldn't find exactly the boots she wanted. And I said, well, there's some more boots back here, kind of back in the back. So she went back with me, and we got to the size 10s and 11s. She just looked at me, and she went, oh, my God, can you imagine wearing a shoe this big? And I just put my foot straight up in front of me right in her face and went, yes, I can imagine it. Every day I imagine it. And she was like, oh, right. So, I mean, we all have those parts of our bodies that are not going to ever conform to any sort of modern standard of beauty. But we have to know that beauty isn't all there is. There are wonderful reasons to have big muscular thighs, not the least of which is your lover is going to appreciate that. And not the least of which is you can walk around all day and you've got big muscles in your thighs that are doing that work. Oh, wait, I went all evangelical again. Sorry. I just want, especially women, but also men. I mean, we see so many pagan men that are just, you know, they've kind of given up. And it's okay because I'm just wearing a big tunic and that's fine. Or I'm wearing a sarong and that's fine. But it's not fine when you're 50 years old and you're sick. And you can't go to a festival, and you can't jump the balefire, and you can't dance and drum because you just don't have the stamina to do it.
Right.
I think it's about time for us to take a quick break. Ravenfire, do you have a song picked out for us?
I did, and then one of my felines decided that my mouse would be an interesting toy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was actually my job to run the book tonight, but we had a family event that I had to be at, so.
Yeah, I have a song, actually. It is a song by Celia, and it's called Only Love Is Real. And we will be right back.
Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in.
here on Pagans Tonight Radio Network. You're listening to the Tree of Life Hour. This is Raven Firedoll.
Hello, Raven.
Thanks.
How are you?
Here.
Hey.
So, I know we have Samara with us. We also have Lady Vanessa and our special guest, Byron Ballard. And tonight we are discussing her new book, Embracing Willendorf.
Sorry, I unmuted myself. Did not unmute myself.
I like being the special guest. That makes me feel very special.
Aww.
Oh, you are special. We love having you. So I have a question. Is there maybe a short excerpt or edited version of maybe something that you put in the book that you can share with people to kind of pique their interest?
Would you like me to read just a little bit? Is that what you're saying?
If you want.
Sure. Absolutely. I'll read you a little bit from the foreword, which is called The Big Lie. Our American obsession with fitness is culture-driven, as well as fueled by a capitalist system that has to keep selling and selling. The environment is showing dramatic signs of stress, as are our credit card bills. But the only way we can save the nation is to drive the economy by purchasing things we don't need with money we don't have. And if for some reason you don't feel the desperate need to consume that is the birthright of every American, we have a subculture of marketers who can make you want it. Try watching television for 10 minutes at any time, day or night. How many pizza, burger, and instant cookie commercials can you spot? How many new cars must we buy to bolster the American way of life? Then I want to read this one piece about the weight loss industry. So the weight loss industry gives us pills, programs, and machines, and they assure us it's easy. Do this, it'll work, and it's easy. Effortless weight loss. The big lie. So we invest in the gym membership or the money-back guaranteed diet pills, and we try to plug that into our already overburdened lives. And it may even work at first. We let down our defenses and dream of sitting in an airplane seat without getting pinched nerves in our thighs. We fantasize about wearing a two-piece bathing suit come summer. We let ourselves believe that this time it's going to work. And then we fail. Life gets the better of us. We don't take time for the gym, and we can't afford more of the pills. We feel guilty that we're spending so much attention on the size of our waists when the world is going to hell in a handbasket. The weight we lost comes back. We put away the sizes, smaller clothes for the next time, and we live our lives a little sadder maybe, a little heavier, certainly. And after a while, we won't even try those fads anymore because we always fail. We don't have the requisite willpower or guts or motivation to do this thing. We look around us at other Americans and we see that we're not alone. We also figure that there must be something badly wrong with us if we can't do this thing that everyone insists is easy. Gosh, if this is easy and I can't do it, I must be really bad or dumb or weak. It's easy, right? Then why can't I do it? Because it's not easy. So, it's not easy, but it's worth it.
It's not easy. Well, we're worth it. We're worth taking care of ourselves and making sure that we are healthy and enjoy our life. But what is healthy, I think, becomes the question that we beg here.
Yes, and I think everyone has to decide that for themselves.
Yes.
So if healthy for you is getting to the place where your feet don't hurt all the time.
Right.
Or getting to the place where you can go up and down the stairs without your knees clicking and hurting.
Right.
Then that's healthy for you. Because here's the thing, we're not any of us going to live forever. Something's going to take you out.
Nobody
gets out of this
alive.
How healthy you are. Exactly. It doesn't matter how healthy you are and how much you force yourself to be a certain standard. Sooner or later, something's going to take you out. And the big The big thing for me is that we should live rich, full lives. That's the important thing.
Certainly. Good point. Raven, Samara?
I was just trying to think of what to say next because that was...
Nice.
That was really good. So,
it was.
Yeah. On what to say next.
Well, do you want me to read you one of the, some of the sexy parts? There's sexy parts, too. And I tell people, you can just go straight to those and never read the others if you want. I mean, you all keep talking till I find a good one to read. The chapter 15 is called, Do I Have to Uncoil My Kundalini? And Where Is It Anyway?
I like that.
So I'm going to find a little something to read from that. You know, this, the other thing, too, is that we are in the middle of the Beltane season.
Mm-hmm.
And I want us to be playing and dancing and doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the beginning of this chapter is a little bit of a ritual. And then it really starts with, okay, this is the chapter on sexy underwear and orgasm. You may either skip it or read it first, whatever works best for you. And I don't think we talk enough about sex in the pagan community. I really don't. And we certainly, I don't think, are doing enough of it. Last year I developed a curriculum that's for it's a sex positive curriculum for sex magic called Honey on the Stones. And I've done that now at two festivals and then at a private workshop here in town. And it's so funny afterwards at festivals when I see people who took the class because I'll say to them, so have you had an orgasm today? Have you? And some of them will go, yeah. And others will go, no, I'm going to do it right now. I mean, I'm putting it on my to-do list. I'm going to do it right now. So I kind of nag a little bit, just a tiny, tiny little place. All right. I'm almost there.
I say that a lot when I'm about to orgasm. So,
yeah, I'm almost there. Yeah. Just a little more, a little bit more.
Talking about that because my husband was just looking at an article about, I think part of it was like how to raise your libido or something because I have issues, but we won't go into that. But and one of it is, one of the things, it said, just do it. That even if you're not in the mood, still have sex because it will help you.
Well, yeah. Yeah. All right, let me read you this part. It's not too graphic, I think.
Oh well.
You can get the book and you can read the more graphic parts.
Certainly.
Certainly. See, I'm always here to say you can always get the book. Pleasure is not a bad thing. Let me repeat that for emphasis. Pleasure is not a bad thing. In modern paganism, we have this beautiful liturgical piece called The Charge of the Goddess, written originally by Doreen Valiente. One of the lines is, all acts of love and pleasure are my rituals.
Are mine rituals.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure as prayer is something so shocking to the Western mind that you may have recoiled from that line. But in this uncoiling chapter, we can touch on another aspect of loving your body, and that is allowing yourself the thought of using pleasure as a sacred act, as prayer. Pleasure. Mm-hmm. Say it aloud, slowly, pleasure. Now touch the tips of your fingers to your lips and slowly trace the outline of your mouth. Take a deep breath and repeat the process. Let your lips part and touch the tip of your tongue to one of your fingers. Extra points if you just ate a tangerine, as I did. Breathe slowly, letting the breath escape through your parted lips, warming your fingertips. Sometimes pleasure, and our souls and bodies demand for it, is fierce and unrelenting. We want to be gripped firmly and pulled toward another body. The kisses then are wild and hard, the touch of hands on flesh frenetic, driven. Sometimes our desire for the beloved smooths all other thought from our minds, and we want to give ourselves over to pleasuring our partner as a gift, as a love token. Our cousins, the bonobo chimps, they have it right, gentling each other through touch and orgasmic delight.
Nice. Very nice. It's lovely.
Thanks. It's there's a lot of humor in it. In fact, the little blurb on the back of the book is, this is a saga book, serious and ridiculous, of how the author came to love her body and listen to it, even when it whispered nonsensical things. And it did sometimes, when I'd be walking in the park and my body would just go, bacon and eggs. When you leave here, you should go have bacon and eggs. And I'd be like, what? Are you crazy? Bacon and eggs? And then I would go do it, and I would feel amazing.
Right.
Well, I know as soon as I have the money, I'm getting the book.
Yep.
I just come up with the money.
Absolutely.
Well, and it's going to be available at local independent bookstores and online first. Amazon,
there needs to be an Audible version, because that's how I read all my books anymore.
I know. Well, my friend Brian Henke says I need to do all of my books as Audible books, because, you know, I have two other books about Appalachian folk magic. And when I do my whole, when I get back into my natural, normal, ancestral accent, it sounds kind of sweet when I talk about folk magic. So maybe at some point I will get around to doing that. Sending them off.
I'll be the first in line to get it if it's on Audible. I'm like the first in line when Alex Bledsoe puts out his books and his go on Audible, and I'm like the first one to buy it.
Well, that's going to take me slowing down a little bit and not going to two festivals a month through the festival season. Crazy.
Oh.
And I promised my editor that I would have the text of my new book to her by Lunasa. And I think I'm a lunatic to think I can do that. But the next book is going to be Earthworks, 8 Ceremonies for a Changing Planet. And for those of you who follow me, this is the book about tower time and about the challenges we face both as a culture and as a species living on a changing planet. And that one, I hope, will be out by the end of the year. So I'll release 2 books this year.
Wow.
Insane.
Prolific lady.
Well, this one was pretty much done. And the Earthworks book, I've got about 35,000 words on that already. So it's not impossible. Not impossible. And I'm lucky. My publisher is amazing. And the designer we work with, her name's Susan McBride. She's so good to work with and so much fun.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, maybe another one. Maybe I'll come talk to you in the fall about the new book. Because I love to come and talk to y'all. Y'all are fun.
So
I've enjoyed it.
Real quick, can you tell us some of the events that you have coming up so that people know how to find you? And will you have books with you?
Of course, I will have all the books. I'll have the 3 books I've written with me. Where am I going next? I'm sending in class proposals for the festival at Wisteria in June at Midsummer. But before that, I'm going to do one more Beltane event. I know it's crazy, isn't it? But next weekend, I'm going to be at Blue Ridge Beltane, which is just up 81 from me, up in near Stanton, Virginia. And that's going to be a big blowout. I'm going to be doing the Honey on the Stones workshop. There's going to be a lot of kind of cuddle, yummy stuff going on with that one. And then I hope, fingers crossed, Wisteria in June. And then July, I have 2 big things. I'm going to Summerland for the first time. That's a big 9-day festival up in Wisconsin. I'm going to be teaching a lot and having a lot of fun. Then I fly back into Asheville, and I have like a 2-day turnaround. and then I drive to Atlanta for Mystic South. And Mystic South is a brand new regional conference happening July 21st through 23rd, and I'm one of the headliners for that.
Oh,
so,
nice.
And it's fascinating. It's got three tracks. So there's an entertainment track, there's the workshop and classes track, and then there's an academic track. So I'm going to be delivering a paper in the academic track about my new research. Yeah, I get to put on all my hats for that one. I'm even teaching Tai Chi at that conference, so that'll be fun. And then I do several pagan prides in September. In October, I'm going down to Caldera Fest, which is a big pagan music fest that is amazing.
Right.
And it's going to have Tuatha Dea is going to be there. Brian Henke's going to be there. Wendy Rule, like just about every pagan band and performer you can think of is going to be there. Then I do a home festival, which is the Southeast Wise Women's Herbal Conference. I do the Organic Growers School, and then I'm going to Florida. I'm going back to the Florida Pagan Gatherings, Samhain, and then FairyCon in Maryland in November, and I think that may be all. I know, right?
Oh.
I think that's it. Plus, you all know I'm the senior priestess at the Mother Grove Goddess Temple here in town. So I'm also doing rituals. We do public rituals for the 8 holy days plus Earth Day, and we do full moons, and we do Sunday rituals. And yeah, so, and I'm an organic gardener. And a mom. Fortunately, I'm the mom of a 26-year-old, so she's more just fun than she is anything else. So,
right.
Yeah, that's me. And the Village Witch. I really am the Village Witch. And that's how people can find me if they want to. My website is myvillagewitch.com. You can find me on Facebook as Byron Ballard, but also I have The Village Witch A Wandering, which is all about my travels and research. I'm on Twitter as Byron Ballard, and I'm on Instagram only occasionally, but I'm there as Byron Ballard too. So people can check in on me, see what I'm doing, see where I'm going to be. Offer me, you know, alcohol. That works too.
Okay. Is there anything you want to say about your book real quick before we end?
Well, let me give you, again, the URL to order that before it gets to other sources, and that's you can just Google Sky Bridge Publishing, and Sky is like the Isle of Sky, SKYE.
Right.
And that's at editingpen.net, but you can just Google Sky Bridge Publishing and it will come up and you can order that way. And you can see what else that amazing little press is doing.
All right.
Thank you all so much for having me.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on. It's always a blast. And I'm sorry that I missed you at our Haven. I had to work my second job, and plus I think it kind of got turned into a lake, too, I heard.
You know, I had a really good time, though. That was a lovely festival. Yeah, it was really wet, but they had housed us in this giant blue school bus. So when the big storms were rolling in, we were dry. We were literally high and dry, and it was exciting. Really nice people. Really, really nice people.
Well, if you get to come back to our Haven, I will definitely make time to come out and see you.
Oh, I would love to see you because I don't think I'm going to be anywhere you're going to be for a while.
No, because you won't be at PUF this year, which is going to be weird because you're always there, but...
I know, and I don't know why I'm not going to be there. I'm still trying to figure out what happened, but, yeah, that's maybe gossip we should do offline.
Uh-oh.
Oops. I didn't realize I was bringing that. Okay.
Anyway, thank you all so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it.
It's nice to chat with you again, Byron.
Yeah, you too. Take care, everybody.
Have a good evening.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right, so it is that time to discuss current events that are coming up. Let's see. The first one I have is Toon Magic 2017 at Karen Aretas this weekend, which I believe is already going on. Yeah, 11th through the 14th. Because I have friends already posting beautiful pictures from there. Oh, my gosh, I wish I could go. I mean, they have a setup, let me tell you, from the pictures I've seen. I'm not sure if there is a price at the gate, but adults are $100. And it looks like it is in Cosby, Tennessee at Red. It looks beautiful. I wish I could go, but... yeah, two festivals back-to-back would not work. Also, oh, that's today, but it's already over. I was getting ready to say the Sticks and Stones thing, but it's already that was today. let's see, also coming up, we have, what else is going on this weekend? Hey, well, the next thing I have is Pagan Unity Festival, May 18th through the 21st at Montgomery Bell State Park in Burns, Tennessee, and we will be there. So if you want to come say hi, I will be there. Serenity will be there. You can come by the Steam and Lace booth, which is my booth, and say hi. Let's see, May 18th. Also, we have the Flint Witch Festival in Meem and Shelby Forest State Park in Millington, Tennessee. Then also that weekend, May 19th through the 21st, Our Haven Nature Sanctuary is having their Our Haven Women's Gathering 2017. For more information, you can go to ourhaven.org. I believe that's it. I probably just said that wrong. May 19th is also the Red Tent Louisville Women's Drum and Song Circle, 7 to 10 p.m. at Mount St. Francis Seminary in Floyd Knobs, Indiana. And then we also have the 20th is the Mighty Kindness Festival here in Louisville, Kentucky. It's Louisville Waterfront Park, Saturday, May 20th. The invite I have has a weird date on it, but I believe it's like 11 to 7 or something like that.
11 to 7. I'll be there. I will be there reading and hawking my wonderful enchanted earrings and charmed candlesticks. So, yes. 11 to 7.
All right. Thank you. And then I'm going to go ahead and go through the first weekend in June. June 3rd is the 25th annual St. Louis Pagan Picnic. I always want to go, and it's always on a weekend I'm doing something. It's at Tower Grove Park in St. Louis. Let's see, I don't know who, it is Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday. I think I just said that wrong. Saturday, 7, Sunday, 10 to 5. So it is a pet family, family friendly. Don't know if they have any VIPs this year. But I've always wanted to go, and it's been gone for a while, so.
So if Raven Fire Doll still on, I wanted to check and see if Heathen Pub Moot was still on for tomorrow evening.
We did not decide. We actually decided that we were not doing one for the month of May simply because of Derby and everything that everybody else had going on in the city this month. So we will be having one in June, and we have not yet announced the due date.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you.
Do you have any other events going on that you know of, Lady Vanessa?
Well, personally, I'll be reading cards and, again, having my enchanted earrings and other esoterica at Fresh Start Flea Off Market here in Louisville on Saturday. And I know that on the 17th, CUPS will have its final regular class for this season at First Unitarian Universalist Church here in Louisville, Kentucky. And we will be celebrating celebrating Litha early, as we usually do, I believe, on the 7th of June this year. So we usually do that particular holiday early. See, in addition to what you said, that's really all I've got. Well, I've got a couple of things that are later. The 16th and 17th of June, the Market for Mischief, a sort of dark and alternative arts market here at the Cure Lounge in Louisville, Kentucky. And I know it hasn't been announced publicly yet, and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to sell anyone, but I'm going to because I love you all. The Dark Market will be having its July and possibly its last show, we don't know yet, on the 22nd of July at Whiskey Haymarket Bar here in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, no.
I know. Well, unless someone else takes it over or something else happens, I really don't know what's going on with that. The current operators have opened their own gallery and are, you know, so either someone else has to take it over or something. I'm not sure. So, yeah. But the Dark Market was always quite the hit downtown in the middle of, you know, not quite Nulu, not quite mid-downtown, but in Louisville, and certainly attracted a unusual and diverse audience. It was great. So I'll be there reading and with my earrings and many of the, it's funny, traditional alternative dark market artists. But some of the folks you've seen around, Ryan Case, some others,
okay.
Jada Lynn.
All right, so that is all for tonight's show. Next week's show is kind of up in the air at the moment. I do have an idea for it, but it's going to depend on whether the cell towers are picking up signals out at Puff. If the cell towers are picking, because like the first time we did a show from there, had a good signal, but the audio just wasn't that great because of the speaker I was using. And then the second year,
we think we may have found the magic bullet, hopefully, because I'm not going to be at Puff this year, and that has a lot to do with work, of course. We think we might be able to do it this way.
So if I can call in, I will. If not, we might have to do maybe a repeat show from last year at Puff. We'll see how it goes. Raven and Fire and I will probably be testing the cell signals probably Wednesday after I get there and set up and stuff Thursday morning. Actually, probably Thursday morning. But we'll figure it out, and we will let everyone know if we're able to do a show from Puff or not, but we're going to try.
Well, we will certainly check into that and see if you guys are up and running.
All right, so I guess that's all for tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and say everyone have a blessed evening, and hopefully we will talk to you next week.
Right.
And y'all
always a pleasure.
Out there.
Always a pleasure.
And to take us out, I have a song by Incubus called Burning Time. And we will hopefully see everyone next week.
Forget not the days of old and recall the stories told of the
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans Unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.